What brings you joy in your day? Hitting all the green lights on the way to school? Sinking your teeth into a honey barbecue chicken strip sandwich at Whataburger? I know you're never supposed to talk about food this close to lunch at church, but anyway. Does that bring you joy? Is joy a bathroom stop at Buc-ee's after you've gone about 20 miles past your limit and you're like, hey, don't stop for gas, just pull up to the front door and drop me off, I'll be right out. What brings you joy? Organizing your closet and then saying thanks and goodbye to everything that doesn't spark joy in your heart? What brings you joy? Getting everything you want for Christmas? Does that bring you joy? Those things are all good, but they fall so far short of this kind of eternal, lasting joy that God wants to give you. The great thing about being a follower of Jesus Christ is that you get to be a part of something much bigger than yourself. You get to be a part of changing the world. You get to be a part of God's plan of love for the world. And you never know when your today, I mean, it could be today, is preparing you for a tomorrow that is full of God-filled joy. Take Mary, for example. Now, not our Mary who works with students. This is a different Mary who lived a couple thousand years ago. And this Mary was engaged. She was engaged to be married to Joseph. Not our Joseph, who leads our student ministry here. Different Joseph. Joseph was a carpenter. He was engaged to Mary, and they were probably both very excited about getting married, looking forward to their upcoming marriage, probably a little bit nervous about it, but mostly excited. Until that one day when God put a little twist in their wedding plans, and he began preparing them that day for a very different tomorrow, one that would be filled with joy, but would take their life in a very different direction than they had ever planned or intended to. If you have your Bible, we'll look at this story. It's found in Luke chapter 1, verse 29. Luke's in the New Testament of the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we would love to give you one. You can pick one up at the Welcome Center. We also have a Spanish edition if you want to give it to someone, or if you're here and you need that, and that would be your heart language to read in. You can find it also on the app. If you pull up the BPF app, the words will be there and they'll be on the screen for you. But Luke is in the far right-hand side of your Bible. It's in the New Testament. So like the last fourth of it, it's at the front of the New Testament after Matthew and Mark. And then there's Luke. After that's John, the four different Gospels or biographies of Jesus. So we're looking at Luke 1:29. We're going to look at Mary's story, how it began, how she is introduced to the world in these few pages. So this is young Mary. She's engaged. She's probably somewhere between maybe 14, 17 years old. That's when you began to get married in that day. And she's probably going about her daily tasks, or perhaps she was working on her invitation list when suddenly she was surprised by an angel. He just showed up out of nowhere. And he said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Check out her response in verse 29. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. I mean, really, who says greetings anyway besides Sheldon on Big Bang Theory? Greetings, you who are blessed by God. You know, Lord is with you. You know, it's like, no, I don't think she was so much troubled by the word greetings as she was troubled by this angel, this guy that wasn't just a guy who suddenly just showed up where she was in her room and he said, greetings. She was troubled because he was an angel. And angels, this is the same angel that surprised the priest Zechariah that Randy talked about here last week, 6 months earlier in the Jewish temple. This troubled her, and for no small reason. You see, angels are not like 99% of the angels that you see depicted on Christmas cards, on the top of Christmas trees, or hovering beautifully and calmly over the silent night that wasn't so silent. And they're nothing like that. The pictures you've seen, angels were not cute. They're not lovely. They're not cuddly. They're usually fierce looking. They're bold. They're usually depicted as a warrior, and they're majestic in all their glory. And that's why when we read about angels in the Bible appearing to someone, their first response to the person that they have just surprised is almost always this. Look in verse 30. "Do not be afraid, Mary." It's a little late for that. "You have found favor with God." Mary had reason to be troubled, not just because she was shocked and surprised by this guy who was probably glowing like he was radioactive. They did that too. No, she was troubled because I think she had this sense. She understood that it was this day that God was preparing her for a very unusual tomorrow. I want you to stop and write this down if you're taking notes in, on the programs or in your app. Write this down. Listen, if you haven't been troubled by God's plans like Mary, wait for it. You will be. You will be. I can promise you that you will be troubled by some of the plans God puts in front of you, maybe several times in your life. God will rock your world. I promise you. He will rock your world someday. Not like he rocked Mary's world, but it will be different and it'll be challenging. And you'll have to decide whether or not you really are going to trust God or not. That's what Mary was faced with right here at this point. So what I want you to do is, I want you to try to imagine you are Mary, or perhaps her fiance Joseph, who's going to get a visit by the same angel in a few days. Imagine you're one of them and you're hearing this for the first time. Just try to put yourself in that scene. The angel said to Mary, after he said, "Greetings, you who are favored by God. The Lord is with you." Then he goes, "Don't be afraid. Okay, chill. It's okay. You found favor with God." The next thing he said was, verse 31, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." He went on to tell her that this baby Jesus would also be called the Son of the Most High. He would be an heir to his father, and that was an ancestor, his ancestor David's throne. And of his kingdom, this little baby that's going to be a king, his kingdom will have no end. I'm thinking she didn't hear much after he said, "You're going to give birth to this young woman who wasn't even yet married yet." I think the rest of that probably all sank in later. And when he stopped speaking, she probably thought, "Wait, what? What?" Verse 34, she said, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" She wasn't even married yet. And it's clear from the text that she and Joseph were following God's beautiful plan for marriage, for all folks to be married, by waiting until their wedding night to consummate their love and their marriage. So the angel Gabriel responded to her when she said, how will this be? I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. How can I become pregnant now?" He responded by saying that God's Holy Spirit would come over her and overshadow her in a supernatural way. Then she would give birth to the Son of God. The language he used, some of the scholars have said, the language that he used was more the language of creation than conception here. And he assured her that even her relative Elizabeth, who Randy talked about last week, her relative Elizabeth, who was thought to be too old to have a child, was already 6 months pregnant with her baby. And then the angel said to her, "For nothing will be impossible with God." If Elizabeth can get pregnant in her old age, you can get pregnant without ever being with a man. Nothing will be impossible with God. Now, if you're reading along in the New International Version, which I usually read from, which I have been reading from this morning, they translate this phrase from Gabriel by saying, "For no word from God will ever fail." I'm thinking they did that to reinforce this creation language, because in the beginning, when you see creation, we see that God just spoke the world into existence. By his word, he spoke the world into existence. And now he is going to speak his son into existence in Mary's womb. But I like the way almost every other Bible translation translates Gabriel's words, "Nothing will be impossible with God." And that's what I want you to consider too. And write this down, okay, if you're taking notes. Experiencing God's joy, folks, it begins as you choose to believe the impossible to be possible. You'll never go as far as God wants to take you. You'll never follow him as far as he wants to take you until you believe the impossible to be possible. You'll never experience the joy he has for you until you begin to believe the impossible to be possible. A lot of people in our community didn't think a church like this would ever work. Okay, y'all, you can start that, but nobody's going to go to it. It's never going to work. But I believed it was. Some people said, "That's impossible. That's never going to happen." But I believed it was. And I believed it so much that I even went back to my dictionary from college, and I cut the word impossible out of my dictionary. I cut it out. I also put a picture of Kathy next to the word beautiful. That way, after I'm long gone and my boys are throwing away all my stuff, maybe they'll go through here and find it and have a little surprise. Listen, there's a word for believing the impossible to be possible. You know what that word is? Faith. Faith. You know what faith is. You exercise faith more than you believe. Let me tell you how many of you have exercised faith. Here's how you exercise faith, okay? You get online and you purchase a ticket on a jet that you have never seen before. Then you get in your car and you drive up to the airport. You go and you drop your luggage off with a stranger. They take your luggage, they put it on this little belt behind them, and it goes and it disappears. Then you walk through security, and sometimes you take a very embarrassing picture in there with them that only they can see. Then you walk down the jetway, this narrow jetway, through a small door into a plane. You walk down the aisle of the plane, you sit down in a seat, and you buckle in next to a stranger while they lock the door on this plane. You don't know the pilots, you don't know the flight attendants, you don't know the maintenance crew that's responsible to keep that plane in good shape that'll make it lift up and land down safely. You don't even know the flight attendants up in the control tower, air traffic controllers up in the control tower who are responsible to keep your plane from crashing into all the other planes that are taking off and landing at that airport. That's faith, folks, and many of you have exercised that. You exercise faith every time you drive through a green light that other people are going to stop at the red light. You can do faith. And if you can do that, you can do this. You can trust Jesus. You can believe the impossible to be possible. It is within your capacity. God built you and made you in such a way that you had to live your life by exercising faith. Listen to how Jesus described faith in Matthew 17:20. Hold your place in Luke 1, but let me read this to you. Jesus one time told some people, he said, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, that was the smallest seed they knew to exist. He said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, this means it doesn't matter how big it is, it just matters where it's pointed. You can say to this mountain, and Jesus pointed to a mountain, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there. Nothing will be impossible for you. We don't have any mountains down here, but I guess you could go to the Brazoria County Hill Country, you're Damon, and you could say to that hill, here, you move from here to Needville. Yeah, you could try that. Or not. Listen, God did not give us faith so we could play checkers with mountains or with hills. He gave us faith so we could take next steps with God and so we could experience a deep kind of joy that can only be had by being involved in what God is doing in your life. That is why he gave us faith. That is why he gave Mary faith. And that's why he gives you faith. And I just want to stop here and just ask a question. Many of you are Christ followers, but I don't know that all of you are. I just wonder, if you've been coming here and you're checking out the faith, you're curious about this, maybe you've grown up in church, maybe you've never been to church before, and this is your first time, and you're feeling kind of awkward being here. But God is moving in your heart and saying, what this guy is saying is real. It's right. And I'm proving it in your heart right now. But you've never stepped over the line of faith. Man, why wait any longer to become a follower of Jesus Christ, to step over the line of faith and start following him? When you do that, you will have your sins forgiven if you ask forgiveness, your past, present, and future sins. And you'll secure an eternity with Jesus Christ. And when you die, your life will just be beginning then as you break out into eternity. If you've not done that, and right now you're ready to, I just want to ask all of you for just a moment to bow your heads and let me lead those of you who are ready to follow Jesus Christ. Today is the day. Today is the day that he is shaping your tomorrow. By following him, just pray along with me. I'll help you and lead you in a prayer. Just say, Jesus, I do believe you are God's son. I believe you were born of a virgin and you lived as a man on this earth. I believe you died on a cross to pay the penalty for my sins. I ask you to forgive my sins. Please come into my life now and take total control. I give you my life. Please give me faith to move forward. I trust you. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer with me, you've just taken the first step of a lot of next steps. That's the first step. But there are a lot more steps in knowing and following Jesus Christ. And like I said, Jesus is going to rock your world at some point. But he's also going to give you joy to go along with that, whether no matter how hard or exciting or terrifying that is. But we want to help you take your next steps. And what I want to encourage you to do is get your phone out if you don't already have it. And if you just pray that prayer with me, you've never done that before, text the word faith to 95577. Text faith to 95577. Now, don't do that if you're not willing to enter into a conversation. We'll contact you. Someone from here will contact you and start talking to you about what your next steps can be and help you to grow and learn how to take those next steps. But you do that, and we'll get with you. You need a church home. You need a place to belong and to help you grow. You need a place to help you exercise that faith and to grow in that faith. Like Mary did, like Mary was doing. Mary, she put her faith in God's words that came from the angel Gabriel. And here's her response. When the angel promised her that nothing will be impossible with God, he said, how can I have a child? I'm a virgin. And he said, nothing will be impossible with God. And right there, she accepted his word. She believed it. And here was her response to Gabriel. She said in verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. Let me just tell you something. Mary and Joseph's lives were very normal and routine the vast majority of life. This was a pretty exciting moment, seeing an angel. Very few people ever get to experience that. And they had another couple of exciting moments, but for the most part, their lives were very normal and ordinary. And now Mary, once the angel went away and she's realizing what she has just said and what she has just accepted, she was no fool. She knew what some people would say about a pregnant girl with no husband. She knew that her reputation from this point forward would probably be shredded. But she was willing to trust God, even with her reputation. She was willing to trust God's plan for her future. That day, that moment, Mary said yes to God's word and God's will. And a joy-filled tomorrow began to unfold with her. Listen, I just want to encourage you to do the same. Say yes to God today if you want to experience a joy-filled tomorrow. If you want to live a meaningless life, then you just go on and just turn away every time God tries to awaken your heart to do something bold for him, to bring him glory and to bring you joy. But if you really want to experience joy, you got to say yes. You got to say yes to his word, yes to what he says, yes to his promises. You see, joy is much more than just a feeling. It's not just a feeling. Joy is a choice. It's a choice to live and trust God and experience what he wants you to experience. You'll never experience that if you don't say yes to God. As Mary pondered the idea of having a baby she never asked for, but agreed to carry, she remembered Elizabeth, her relative, that the angel said, hey, Elizabeth's already 6 months along carrying a baby that she did pray for, but had probably stopped praying for and never expected to have. Mary decided, I've got this in common with her. I want to go check out and see what's going on in her life. So Mary paid Elizabeth a visit. They didn't live in the same town. She had to travel there. I don't know how Elizabeth knew about Mary, but we know by the time Mary gets there, Elizabeth knows what's going on. When Mary walked into Elizabeth's home, Elizabeth's baby boy jumped inside of her. And it's obvious that by this time, the Holy Spirit had revealed to Elizabeth all that was going on with Mary. Elizabeth knew that Mary either was already or would soon be carrying the Son of God in her womb. Look at verse 42. In a loud voice, I can just imagine this greeting. First time Elizabeth and Mary have seen each other since both of them have become pregnant and are expecting a baby that God had planned in both cases. Mary said in a loud voice, Elizabeth said in a loud voice to Mary, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She already realized that this baby Mary was carrying in her womb was the Lord. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Wow. The months ahead would be tough for Mary and Joseph in ways that they could never really imagine, but they would also be marked by joy. The same joy that entered that baby that was at about 28 weeks, who grew up to become known as John the Baptist, inside Elizabeth's womb. And that's just another reassurance, folks, that that baby inside a womb is a human being, is fully loved by God. We lit the Advent light of hope last week at the news that Elizabeth and Zachariah, who had not been able to have children, would have a child, and that child would not just be a joy to them, but that child would bring joy to the world. That child would announce the arrival of the Son of God on the scene when he grew up to become known as John the Baptist. And that child would turn the hearts of parents back to their children. There was hope in the world. Hope after a long period, 400 years of silence from God. Hope was finally back on the scene. And we lit that light of hope last week. Today, we illuminate the light of joy. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. The Lord is going to come as a baby. And Mary and Elizabeth are now experiencing that joy. Elizabeth had one more thing to say to Mary. And this is important. You might miss it, but there's a lot of application in this as well. In verse 45, Elizabeth looked at Mary. She knew what Mary was going to be going through. She knew Mary was very brave to accept this opportunity, to accept this challenge, this responsibility, this wonderful privilege from God. She said, "Blessed is she," talking about Mary, "blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." She knew Mary was going to be blessed. See, there's always risk in following Jesus. There really is always risk. And as I told you, folks, he's going to rock your world. There's risk in following Jesus, but there's also a blessing that comes from believing. God blesses you when you believe what he says is true. And if you want a front row seat, write this down. If you want a front row seat to what God is doing, to watch God's work, you don't want to be way back and just kind of watching the river flow by and everyone else that's enjoying being a part of God's work. If you want a front row seat to it, believe his promises. Believe his promises in your life. Believe the promises that are in the Bible that are pretty hard to misunderstand, like trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll make your paths straight. He will direct you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, Jesus said, will be added unto you. He'll take care of whatever you need if you seek him first. That's a promise. If you believe that promise. If you believe the promise to delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Folks, if he doesn't give you what you desire, I've seen that he'll change your desires and then give those to you. Believe his promises. For the Christ follower, you will have a front row seat to watch God's work when you believe his promises. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. We don't realize it. We don't realize that because we can't see it because our lives are normally just so very ordinary. But for you who believe God's promises, whether you're 16 or 60 or 62, you may have a front row seat right now to what God is doing in this world. You just can't see it because it looks so normal. But God may be doing something in your life right now that's going to blow your mind a few years from now or a few decades from now or maybe just a few days. You can't see it because it's so ordinary. But God is doing some things. And you'll realize its significance someday. I want you to imagine with me Joseph and Mary, 100 years later, 100 years after they visited Gabriel. Now they've both passed away, but now they're living in heaven. 100 years later, the end of the first century, and I want you to imagine Joseph and Mary looking down on the earth, and they're seeing the gospel, the good news of Jesus, spreading across the Roman Empire like wildfire. Yes, many Christians are losing their lives as martyrs, but they don't give up. They're helping the people who are sick as plagues are coming across Asia and Europe and North Africa. They're going in and taking care of the sick people, and more people are believing, and they're watching the gospel spread around, as I said, like wildfire. And I can just imagine Mary and Joseph looking at each other and saying, "Wow, God used us to spark this revolution of love. Who would have thought?" They couldn't see it. They couldn't see it when it happened because their lives were all too normal. But it happened. You may not be able to see what God's doing in your life because it's so normal, but it's happening. Fast forward many hundreds of years to the Austrian village of Obendorf when the organ broke down right at Christmas time. And Father Moore decided to write a song. And he calmed all the people down, and he played it on his guitar and sang Stille Nacht, Silent Night, to that church in Germany on Christmas Eve. And I can just picture Mary and Joseph looking down at those Germans singing Silent Night, and Joseph going, "Not exactly. Mary, I don't remember being so silent when you went into labor, but he's got the right idea. I like the song. Wow, it's still happening. It's all over the world. God is sharing his love with people around the world. Folks, you can be a part of that. Some of you just accepted that love from God when you prayed to receive Christ and step over the line of faith. Guys, that's why we're here, to share the love of Jesus to a dark world. Kevin and Lauren are going to a very dark place where people live in fear and superstition all the time. They're afraid of the spirits. They're afraid of everything supernatural, and they don't realize there's a God who loves them, and they're going to share that good news. There are people here in Brazoria County that are just as superstitious, who are just as fearful, and are doing just as crazy of things to get by because they haven't heard yet about Jesus, and you can help tell them. Now, your life, you may be thinking, man, my life's not going so great. What do I have to share? You have Jesus if you've trusted him. And you may be thinking, man, my life's not going the way I wanted. It's been hard or confusing, or maybe I just don't feel like my life has really mattered that much. Well, let me just tell you something. Your life may not bring you the deep and lasting joy like you think it ought to right now, although it probably will more than you realize. But I want you to know this. If your life is harder than you think it should be right now, or harder than you feel like it should be for a Christ follower, maybe you think you deserve more for all you do for Jesus, let me just remind you of this, okay? For the Christ follower, hardship has an expiration date. But joy is eternal. Your troubles will not last forever. This pandemic will not last forever. But joy is eternal. That's why we sing joy to the world year after year after year, because there is joy. Even in this dark world, even in this world that's mostly lost and doesn't know Jesus, there is joy to be had by knowing and following Jesus Christ. And there's joy to be had for the followers of Jesus Christ by sharing that good news with others. Let's do this. Let's pray. God, I thank you for joy. I thank you for the gift of joy. I thank you for this beautiful Christmas story that only a God who loves us could create like this. God, I thank you for invading our sometimes normal, humdrum, often just ho-hum lives with the joy of the universe. God, help us to recognize when you're giving us next steps to take. Help us to trust your word and believe you, and help us to say yes to what you ask us to do. And help us be a part of sharing that joy. God, let a little of it rub off on us as we share it with others. We ask this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.